Would everyone please open their Bibles to 2 Peter? 2 Peter, the first chapter. 2 Peter, the first chapter. Again, I had the page number last week in the black Bibles. I don't. I'm going to read the entire section, even though the focus this morning will be verses 12 through 15. I'm going to read the entire section here this morning, verses 3 through 15. And it's important that we do this, just again, remind ourselves of this entire context of this passage as Peter writes this wonderful letter. Verse 3, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you will be able to, at any time, to recall these things. Let's pray. Blessed Father God, I ask of you right now this morning again for your Spirit to move in a mighty and a powerful way. Lord, we know you are able to do so. Even in spite of us, Lord, in spite of the baggage, the garbage, the stuff we might have walked in the door with, Lord, I pray that we would remove that. You would allow us to hear and to listen, to obey and to be just changed and transformed by the power of your truth, by the power of your word. Lord, forgive us again of our sins this week. Cleanse us, Lord. Do a work in our lives, Lord. Lord, just keep us humble. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So now as we focus on verses 12 through 15, seeing that in context helps us. And in verse 12, Peter ends this section of Scripture with this grand and glorious conclusion. Therefore, in conclusion, Peter would not want any of his readers to miss out what he has to say. After reading this section of Scripture, it should be apparent where Peter's heart is at, what Peter finds to be of the utmost in importance. When you read this text from the Apostle Peter's pen, it's hard to ignore the emphasis that Peter is making here. Peter is uncompromising in his goal and aim. He would want none of his readers to ever forget what he is telling them. these applicable truths should never be trivialized or put on the back burner or made into some optional sidebar. Peter would not want any of us to procrastinate or to come back later when it's more convenient concerning these truths. Peter is urgently and clearly and continually reminding the church to be mindful of certain things. Beloved, you and I need constant and continually reminders of the things that matter most. We are all, let's be honest, a forgetful bunch. We are a forgetful people. I'm going to Haiti in a couple of days, and I have lists and post-it notes all over the place, on kitchen tables, upstairs on my desk, at another board over here. Mark, Katie's helping me out. Did you remember this? Do you remember this? You got your passport? Are you bringing your charger for your phone? You know, all sorts of things, trying to, is your suitcase, you got enough in there? How many suitcases? You going to bring one or two? I mean, everything is constantly going on. And I'm just going to tell you this. Some of you that are younger, maybe not so much, but when you get older, you're going to have more notes and lists all scattered through the house. Trust me. We are that way. I figure my mind's still working fairly well, but it still needs help. But I absolutely love this section of Scripture. And after seriously studying this portion of Peter's letter, you cannot deny the seriousness of Peter's charge to us. You cannot overlook the emphasis that Peter is making and applying these truths to each one of our lives. These glorious truths cannot be understated, nor can they be overstated enough. In other words, we cannot be reminded enough, be told enough, be challenged or charged enough to the colossal significance in the application of these amazing truths. And thus, Peter desires with his entire being, if you read this, to remind the church of such glorious things. And what are these most glorious things that must continually be a valuable part of the life of every single follower of Jesus Christ? His thoughts are still focused on those blessed character qualities in that context in verses 3 through 11. Those traits, those uncompromising Christian traits that all of us should be pursuing, as well as everything else that we find in these verses 3 through 11, these promises that he talks about, his divine power that he's been given to us, so that we have everything that we could possibly need, everything that we could possibly want for life and for godliness. These are amazing promises, are they not? I love this. Why? Why are these important? Because of the grand benefit and blessing that they bring to each one of us. Because of the fact that these Christ-like qualities, we need to have these Christ-like qualities even to enter into the presence of God Almighty in glory. We need these qualities in our lives so that we can have a greater intimacy and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's crucial to know Jesus Christ, beloved, is indeed our ultimate purpose and joy for our whole existence. You hear that? That's everything. You can't overemphasize that. I can't go higher than that. I can't think of anything greater than that. If a jar is full, it's full. I can't shove anything else in there. It's that great. It's that grand. It's that important. It's to know Christ. It's everything. And therefore, what we discover, though, in these verses 12 through 15, as we read this, I think is the depth and length and width and breadth of Peter's heart, his soul, his mind, his strength is found wrapped up in these few verses here. And so if you want to see that half sheet of paper, if you have it there in front of you, I just wrote the heartbeat of Peter. The heartbeat of Peter. Peter's heart. He was always, it sounds like, always intentional. Verse 12. Always intentional. Again, he brings this grand and magnificent and glorious conclusion. And again, we'd do well to pay close attention to these concluding remarks made by the great apostle of Jesus Christ, Peter has this uncompromising conviction of heart that nothing is of more importance. And thus, Peter, it says here, is always, listen, it says he's always ready, always intentional. He won't be caught off guard here. He is ever ready and continually and intentionally reminding us of these crucial, life-giving, love-increasing Christian qualities that are ours in Christ. It's been said that if you say it often enough and long enough, people will believe it. Peter knows this to be true. And thus, he keeps telling his church, the church, us, over and over and over again, the importance and priority of pursuing these Christ-like qualities. Peter understood the importance of that old saying that we use, practice makes what? Perfect. And I tell you, I just thought of so many illustrations of why we need to be reminded of these things, or how do we embed it in our minds and hearts how colossal in importance these are. Being a parent, some of you are parents, some of you are children of those parents in this room, but one of the things I know for my mom and dad, and one of the things for me as a parent, one of the most frustrating things is when you've told your child multiple times about something they should do or something they should know, and yet they seemingly have still forgot. I could remember times growing up when my mom or dad would have asked me, and here's my response, and I know your kids say the same thing as, yeah, I know. You told me, I know, yeah. Could you please pick up your little brother from his tennis practice after? Yeah, I got it. You got the car, you'll pick him up, right? Yeah, no problem. Guaranteed. I'll write a note. I got it on the dashboard here. I'll remember. No problem. And thus, hours later, my little brother still sitting there without ever being picked up. His friends were asking, do you need a ride? No, my big brother's going to pick me up, so no problem. I've been here, I've been here at this church where families have left and gone home. And they're, I'm not going to say who, son or daughter here, and said, where's my mom and dad? I don't know. They must have left. Well, we'll get you right, or we'll call them. We've had calls here and say, by the way, is so-and-so here? Yeah, Henry's still here. Don't worry. Oh, quit it now. It's good. No. Or what's the classic movie? What's the one classic movie we all love? And it's the kind of a Christmas holiday. Home Alone. They're all so frantic. They have all the kids, and they leave one of their smallest son home alone. Boy, that would have happened in my day. Beloved, we are all a forgetful people. And as long as we are in these fallen bodies of ours, we need constant and continuous reminders to those most important matters that God has called us to. And according to verse 12, Peter states that the church, the body of Christ, has in their possession, listen to this, the true truth. It says the truth that you have, and it says that you're established in this truth. In other words, we are grounded and rooted in these truths, these promises were built up and sustained and transformed via God's word, via his truth, via his promises. This is amazing. And even though, here's what I love, even though they know these things, even though they've been told these things, even though they're established by them, Peter will continually remind them how invaluable they truly are. Peter will remain intentional in this great and glorious task. He will not quit. He will not rest. He will remain intentional to the very end if I read this text properly. So let's look at the next heartbeat of Peter. Peter's heart was always intentional. Number two, singular in purpose. Singular in purpose. Verses 13 and 14. It says, I think it is right as long as I'm in this body. And the word there in the actual Greek is tent. And a tent was not something permanent. We have our homes are built well, fairly well. They're permanent residents. Tent's something that you pull up the stakes and move on. That's, I like that picture. He knows this isn't his home. This, we, beloved, we are pilgrims here, right? We're strangers. We're resident aliens. This isn't where it's at. Glory is. We get so caught up in all the idolatry that this world throws at our way. And yet, when all is said and done, as we read in the context here, when our lives are coming to an end, what do you find to be most important? As Paul wrote in his letters, that when the race, 2 Timothy, when the race is finished, when you've kept the faith to the very end, and you're ready to come face to face with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when your time on this earth is very short, what do you want others to remember? What legacy do you desire for your family and friends to recall? What would you consider to be of the utmost of value to leave with your loved ones? Is it our inheritance of some monetary things, a few old antiques, the family cabin? I've been to, I have two sides, obviously, of every family in a sense, my mom's side, my dad's side. I'll never forget my grandmother's funeral on my mother's side, my Grandma Whalen. It was ugly. The fighting, the arguing. Who gets what in the inheritance? Who's going to have this? Who's going to have that? It was like, I just didn't want to be around all my other aunts and uncles. It was ugly. My mom and dad, they said, let's just get out of here. This is craziness. I couldn't remember. I just couldn't imagine that. I saw a whole different side of family when it came to this stuff. But what do you want to be remembered for? If you knew you were about to die, it sounds here, it's amazing. He says, listen to what Peter says here. He says, since, verse 14, I know, he says, I know, he knows perfectly well that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. So in some way, shape, or form, God has let it known to Peter that his time is short. It might be that he's old. It might be that he's might be in prison right now under the Emperor Nero. We know that he was eventually martyred under the reign of Nero, that Roman emperor, as Paul was in fact as well. In fact, history tells us that if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, which I recommend all of you to own if you don't have it, that Peter was asked to be crucified upside down because he wasn't even worthy to be crucified as his Lord was. Yet, what is it is people should remember us by? Because we climb the corporate ladder or we earn some prestigious degrees from a variety of universities? Do you want to be remembered for all the trophies and medals and honors that you acquired in sports or on the military battlefield? I remember I had so many trophies. I don't have any of them anymore. I tossed them all. Trophies, medals, stuff. I'm going, who cares? When all is said and done in Peter's life and when death was knocking at his door, what did Peter desire to be known for? What did Peter think was of the utmost importance? What was Peter's last will and testament? Well, we have it right here in this text. And here is what becomes, I believe, so apparent. That it's never, ever about Peter or his accomplishments or how great of an apostle that Peter was. With a single-minded purpose, Peter declared that it's ultimately all about Jesus Christ. With my last breath, as Peter is speaking here, he's saying, I want you to know the wonders and glories of God. I want to awaken your souls, to stir you up, to stir up your spirit, to once again remind you to pursue Jesus Christ and these Christ-like character traits. The last thing that I desire to do is to shake, rattle, and roll your spiritual cages for the supremacy of God Almighty. I want to make much of God. I desire to extol Him above all else. I don't want you to remember me and my so-called accomplishments. I want for you to remember, recall, and be forever reminded of Jesus Christ and His accomplishments. Amen? My forever goal and aim, as Peter would be saying this, is to point you to Jesus, to point you to His amazing grace, to His eternal gospel. Peter's mind and heart were singular in purpose. It's all about God and His gospel. Psalm 34, 1 through 2 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth. The psalmist here, it's not about him. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him boast in this, that he understands and knows me. I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 through to 25 says this, the Jews demand for a sign. Greeks seek wisdom. We have the intelligentsia here, these other people want signs and wonders and a bunch of hoopla. But he says, but we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ is the power of God, the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger. 1 Corinthians, later on, same chapter. Because of Him, you who are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that it is written, let the one who boasts, what? Boast in whom? The Lord. I love this. Paul says, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I didn't come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with some lofty speech or wisdom. It wasn't His personality. It wasn't his charismatic personality or anything, or all of His big words He used, or how creative He sounded in His illustrations or whatever. He says, for I decided to know nothing else, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Isn't that amazing? Galatians 6:14 says, far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul knew that it was all about Jesus, that he's dead to the world. The world has no pull on him. The world has no anything on him any longer. He's given it all to Jesus. He's been crucified with Christ. Is no longer he who lives, but Christ who lives in him. He's going to boast about Jesus. He's going to make much about Jesus Christ. Beloved, I don't know how many years I personally have left on this planet. God does. But I do know this, that at my funeral, I just want one thing to be known and said. And it's this. He loved Jesus to the end. And he wanted others to love Jesus too. That's it. Let's look at the next heartbeat of Peter. Point number three, an all-out effort. An all-out effort. We see here Peter's strength. And Peter, again, points us right back to verse 5. He uses that same exact Greek word, the original word. Make every effort. Make an all-out effort to go for it with everything you got to win the race. To use your last bit of strength in the passionate pursuit of taking hold of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 15, I'll make every effort so that after my departure, after he's even left the planet, after he's gone to glory, that we will still be able to, at any time, to recall these things. As Peter has called and charged and challenged the church to make every effort to take on these Christian qualities, fall in love with Christ, his gospel, the cross, he's called the church to make every effort to that. He too. In like manner, he too will use every bit of his strength in order that the church will remember what's important. This body of Christians is to recall these massive truths that all believers everywhere will fully realize these life-altering promises. How do you make that any more important than Peter is making it here? I'm trying to figure that out. How do we embed that into our minds and hearts? I know of some of your, I know this church pretty well. In fact, I even know some of your allergies, what you're allergic to. I do. And my guess is that you will ever and for always remember the fact that you're allergic to almonds, young lady. You're allergic to peas, young lady. These are things that people, and they know there's a reason. They're not going to forget because something bad happens. Right? It's embedded in them. It's embedded probably in their parents. And Pat, Michelle's spouse. That, no, I learned the hard way that certain people are allergic. As I noticed so-and-so picking out things that they're allergic to. I didn't put any peas on the pizza that's coming today. All right? Or almonds. But again, I'm just trying to figure out a way that we can remember and recall and find these things so incredibly, massively important. Beloved, there's real power. There's real power in these promises of God Almighty. There's real power in these promises and truths that you and I must never, ever forget. Practical advice here that Peter gives to one and all is that we should all be reminding one another continually of these things that matter most. And Peter doesn't allow any wiggle room here for that infamous, that famous rebuttal, if you will, like, oh, okay, enough already. Done there. You know, been there, done that. Stop being an egg. I've been told enough. Okay. Beloved, we are a forgetful people. So when Pastor Gary gets on your case, desiring for you to fall more in love with Jesus, just remember this section of Scripture. When others encourage you to pray or to read the Bible more or get out and share the gospel, even though you already know the importance of all these things, just say, hey, thanks for the reminder. Appreciate the encouragement. You're the best nag I've ever met, you know. And beloved, this is much more than some memorization game or having the ability to recall and then rattle off some verses at will. This is taking God at his word and then allowing that same word to take hold of your entire life. It's having an ongoing thirst and hunger that is never satisfied until one has tasted and discovered and seen that the Lord is so very good, is He not? It's understanding a verse like John chapter 6, as Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to Him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus says to them, "That's amazing. I'm that bread. I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus declares that He alone is the bread and He alone is the living water. And as we eat and drink from Him alone, we will forever and ever be satisfied and ultimately fulfilled. Yeah, this is great news. And beloved, here's the big idea. The one thing that becomes quite clear after our time in this text, it's this. It's the overwhelming power of God's Word. The impactful presence of God's truth. The unchanging perfections of God's promises and the amazing grace of His amazing gospel. Peter speaks these truths. He speaks these truths and he expects real life change. God's Word goes forth and lives are radically and forever altered. Peter is absolutely convinced that the one thing that he desires to leave the church is the priority of God's Word and truth. His letter is nothing more than the very breath of God Almighty. Peter is bringing forth the written voice of the Trinitarian God in all of its force and power of the universe. Right here. Why is this important? Why is Peter's constant pleading and reminders to the church so vital? Because it's easy for us to take God's Word, His promises, and His gospel for granted. It's who we are. Paul could say that I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Wow. Listen to this one. Mark, Jesus speaking again. Chapter 8, he says, For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. Beloved, we live in an adulterous and sinful generation today. It says of that person, the Son of Man also will be ashamed when He comes in the glory of His Father with His holy angels. When Christ returns, if you are one who has rejected His Word, has rebelled against His Word, is ashamed of His Word, you will be rejected by Christ Himself. This is a warning to anyone in here who has yet to receive Christ, who has yet to repent and trust in Him. 1 Thessalonians 1, 5 and 6 says, "Because our gospel came to you, not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction." Hebrews 4, 12, we prayed about it this morning in our group of us men. It says, the word of God, 4, 12, the word of God is what? Is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Romans 10, 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by what? The word of Christ. Beloved, I absolutely love. I just love His word. I just can't get enough. I got to tell you, I just can't get enough of his all-sufficient word. I am so beyond blessed by God that he's given me that encouragement, that want, and that desire since I've been born again, since I've been a Christian, to be in his word. God's living truth through the power of his Holy Spirit is the primary mover and shaker in each of our lives. It's a life-transforming force to be reckoned with. Do you believe this? My question, do you believe this? The good news is Jesus is that word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the true truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it is his living word, his active truth, that will always and forever make a difference in your life and in mine. It all starts and it all ends with God's all-powerful, alive word through the working of his Holy Spirit. And my prayer is that you and I will continually and passionately pursue Jesus Christ with everything we got through his word. And may we continually remind each other, one another, that Jesus Christ is everything. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, my prayer now is that your power would be known and seen and felt this morning. I pray that no one would walk out of these doors this morning without truly trusting in the depths of their heart the power of your gospel message, that Jesus truly lived and breathed, lived this gloriously perfect life, died this horrific death, and rose again from the grave alive. So that all of us who would put our faith and trust in that work of the cross and that person of Jesus Christ are saved. Saved from God's wrath. Saved from eternal damnation. Lord, I pray with all my heart that, Lord, your word, your gospel would go forth this morning, that no one would walk out of this building without realizing the power of that word through the work of your Spirit. So do so this morning, Lord. Break us, humble us, do what you need to do. Bring that conviction into each of our lives. Help us not to put it off, Lord. Help us to make much of you. Help us to desire the supremacy of Christ through the gospel, through your word. Oh, Lord, I love you. I thank you. Be that God in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name.